This morning, the church is observing the Eucharistic celebration of the second Sunday of Easter. John Paul II said that this Sunday was from then on to be called Divine Mercy Sunday. And the reason I had my altar server do extra duty is because I wanted to use the opening prayer as the kickoff point from which I would like to make my comments. One of the things that I always want you to try to remember with the liturgy of the church, always pay special attention to the opening prayer. Because the opening prayer tells you the general theme of what is being observed and celebrated that Sunday. And so I'm going to read the opening prayer because let me tell you, you don't mind standing there for a few minutes. Let me tell you, I haven't said this in a long time. I think a lot of times people just say, the priest says, excuse me, my allergies are. See if there's a cough drop in there. Because the tickle just started. When the tickle comes, man, there's nothing you can do about it. Thank you. Just take a moment, take a breather. Okay, this is a story that I saw, okay? It was when I was probably a seminarian, but maybe a young priest. I went to a youth conference, and I was in a room, this was in Denver, yeah, when I did my last 2 years of seminary in Denver, but I went to a youth conference, and there must have been 4,000 teenagers there, at least 4,000. And I don't know why, but we were celebrating the Eucharist, but I don't know why the prayers of the faithful, there was no lector, and the prayers of the faithful were being said by the priest. And you know, the prayers of the faithful come, you know, after the creed. And it's when you do, Lord, we pray for the Pope, oh, let us pray to the Lord. And everybody says, Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for a lot of things, and people say, Lord, hear our prayer. Well, I'm convinced that the majority of times when I'm talking, I could say whatever gibberish I want to say, and I could say, through Christ our Lord, and at least 50% of you would go, amen. Okay, because lots of time people are not listening. Well, on that day, the priest was celebrating and was saying the prayers of the faithful. And on that day, he was saying for the Pope, you know, that he may do his ministry. We pray to the Lord for the bishops. And 3,000-4,000 people were going, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. All the kids were doing that. And then the priest, slowly but nonchalantly, say, Lord, we also pray that the roof of this building fall down and kill everyone present here. And at least 50% of the people said, Lord, hear our prayer. So I'm convinced that people don't listen that very much. Is it, you know, it's kind of like a Pavlovian trigger. You know, pray to the Lord, Lord, hear our prayer. I want you to listen to this because it puts together the two main themes of this liturgy. Listen to this. This is the opening prayer. O God, who by the abundance of your grace give increase to the peoples that believe in you. Now, the first sentence always says something about God, about what is being said. When the prayer goes on, it's gonna basically go, since this is true, then Lord, we ask you for this. Okay? So listen to that. The first part is always what God did, and then the second part is, since this is true, we ask you for this. So, O God, who by the abundance of your grace give increase to the peoples who believe in you. Now comes, then, look with favor on those whom you have chosen, and clothe us with blessed immortality. Nope, I'm reading the wrong prayer. Okay, I'm human, okay? Okay, here's the prayer. O God of everlasting mercy. Now immediately, listen to that. O God of everlasting mercy. Why is that significant? Because today is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the church is telling you that it's emphasizing the mercy of God. Okay? God of everlasting mercy, who in every recurrence of the Paschal feast, what's the every recurrence of the Paschal feast? Mass. That's what it's talking about. You rekindled the faith of people you have made your own. Now, there's the statement about God. There's the statement. Of everlasting mercy, in every recurrence of the Paschal feast during Mass, you rekindle the faith of people you have made your own. There's the fact about God. Now, what are we going to ask him? Since this is true, then increase, we pray, the grace that you have bestowed. So we're asking for an increasing grace. For what? What's the increasing grace supposed to do? Here comes. So that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed. So listen to that. We're being asked to use our minds to grasp and rightly understand. It's not enough to just blindly believe. It's you have to grasp and rightly understand in what font we have been washed, by whose spirit we have been reborn, and by whose blood we have been redeemed. Listen to that. You're being asked on this Mercy Sunday that through God's mercy, we grasp and rightly understand. Now, muchas Garcias. Did I say it right? Muchas Garcias? No. Of course, it's gracias. I'm messing with you. Okay, you can go. I'm finished. Bye-bye. Okay. Now, let me move into it because this is the story of Thomas. Okay? And the story of Thomas has really got some really interesting stuff to it. See, first of all, when I want you to imagine that you're one of the disciples. Okay? Now, especially people like Peter. You, before this whole thing of the crucifixion happened, Peter and the other disciples are, yes, Lord, we are macho, macho men. We're going to follow you all the way to the end. Yes, sir. We'll die for you. And all of a sudden, when it comes time, everybody just, they're gone. And Peter, he hides, and he goes, and he checks what's happening to Jesus. But the moment he's asked, are you with what's-his-face here? Uh-uh. I don't know him. I don't know him. And Jesus had told him that. He said, before the cock crows, three times you're going to deny me. Three times. And then when the cock crows, and three times he's denied him, if you can imagine at that moment that Jesus probably was able to see Peter, and he looked at Jesus, and my God, can you imagine being Peter at that moment when Jesus looked at you and said, you were going to die for me, right? And he looks at him. Peter must have just been torn apart inside. And then the Bible says that Peter went and cried and cried. Now, why do I mention that? Because if I would have done something like that, you have embarrassed yourself. You have embarrassed yourself not only in front of the other disciples because you were so macho man that you were going to die with Jesus. You didn't do it. You ran away. But then you denied him. And so I would be deadly embarrassed. But even more embarrassed. Have you ever been so embarrassed by something you did that you don't even want to see the person? You avoid them. And why do you avoid them? Because you don't want them to look at you. Because the moment they look at you, that's the look that Jesus gave Peter. You're going to feel this tall. And you're going to want and run. You want to go hide and hope that the earth swallows you. Because you don't want it. Now, Jesus knows that that's going to happen. And so when he appears to the disciples and he sees them all these guys that were going to die for him, what's in their hearts? They're going, we really were cowards. And so what does Jesus do? What's the first words out of his mouth? Peace. Peace be with you. Peace. That's the first reason why we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday today. Because Jesus' mercy overrides, I told you so. I told you so. You're not so hot. We're expecting the reproach. But his first words are, peace, peace. And then he says it again. And then it's at that moment that the institution of the sacrament of reconciliation happens. Divine mercy. It's at that moment that Jesus says, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. You know, hearing people ask me, what's it like to hear confessions? Well, it's one of the most profound times and one of the most boring times. Okay? Boring. Because periodically, you get people that, and if you're one of these, please do something about it. But you get these people that you feel like it's a rote, you know? And you do it every week. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't, God has mercy even if you screw up every week. It doesn't matter. But it's the roteness of it sometimes. You can tell the lack of depth sometimes. And then it's one of the most profound moments because, God, can you believe it? I'm sitting there and somebody is literally getting spiritually naked in front of me. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I don't deserve to be here. This is between them and God. And precisely, it is between them and God. I always remind people, look, whenever you go to confession and you hear me and you, or if you're face to face and I put my hand on your head and I say a prayer, and inside that prayer, the words will come, the words will say, I absolve you from all of your sins. A lot of people think that you only get absolved from the sins that you confess. No, you get absolved from all of them. As long as you didn't purposely do them away. Please don't do what my sister did. My sister, I got to tell you this. When she was a kid, she used to hate going to confession. And so when she would go to confession, she would lie to the priest in the confessional. But then it was brilliant. She would confess lying last, and for every time she told the priest a lie, she would add one. Isn't that brilliant? Anyway, it doesn't work, but it's brilliant. But anyway, everything is forgiven. So when I say, I absolve you, first of all, listen to that. I. Is that Mario talking to you? You don't need my forgiveness. You don't need it at all. So then why am I saying, I absolve you? Because at that moment, and for those few words right there, that is not me talking. That is Jesus using me to speak directly to you. To you. The person with your sins. You can go around believing that God is loving and merciful all the time. But this time, you just confessed your sins, and he's saying to you, I absolve you, I forgive you. And that's Jesus talking through me. Now, don't get me wrong. The priest doesn't feel like Jesus is talking through me. It feels normal. But it is Jesus speaking to you. Peace be with you. And then whose sins you shall forgive. You know why? Because Jesus, it's kind of like the old saying, look, I know you love me 24/7, 365. I know it. But I need to hear it. I need you to tell me I love you. I need you to tell me that. And so Jesus knows God may be merciful, but we need to hear it. And applied directly to what you just said. And so then he turns over to Thomas. Now Thomas, I think, gets a bad rap. I love Thomas. We always think that doubt is bad. Doubt is not bad. Doubt is part of your faith. It's part of it. It's the dark spots in faith. And when God allows you to have the dark spots, he's inviting you to question. You know, Jesus says, and this is something that is original to Jesus, because in the Old Testament it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay? Do you know what? It doesn't say with all your mind. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What was Thomas doing? Thomas was thinking. Thomas was a man of sincerity. And Thomas just could not bring himself to believe until he needed more. And Jesus knew that sincerely he needed more. God gives each one of us different things, different experiences of faith. And the reason why some of us need more than others. There's not a generic. God works individually with each of us. But what was Jesus attracted by? His sincerity. I have questions. I have questions. Folks, question. That's what it means to love God with your mind. The only criteria is the question sincere or is it insincere? What's an insincere question? You have already settled on your answer and you don't want to hear. You don't want anything to change your mind. Now you may be certain of your answer. But you still listen and you still give it thought. But Thomas was sincere. You know who had insincere questions? The Pharisees. Remember? They would ask questions not because they wanted to know, They were asking questions because they wanted to trap him. They were not sincere. Thomas wanted to know. To look for God with your mind means that you don't waste your brain. I can't tell you how frustrating it is, because I love to read. And I'm not telling you have to become a theologian. But I am telling you that a lot of people don't even make the slightest effort to know God with their mind. You know, sometimes here at St. Cyril's, we give classes, we do all kinds of adult education. And I consider myself lucky when I get 20 people. You know how many people are in this parish? There's like 4,000 families. Let's figure maybe 3 per family. You got 12,000. Let's bring it down. 10,000 people. And I'm rocking when I get 20. That's pitiful. If I were working in private business, I'd be fired for lack of productivity. Right? Pitiful. But that's what you're supposed to do. You know, folks, and I'll shut up in a minute because I have to baptize that kid. Okay? Hello? What's her name? Huh? Hashiel. Okay, I'll get it. Anyway, when I was in the seminary, I never saw one person get kicked out of the seminary for questioning. But you know what I did see? I saw people get kicked out of the seminary because they didn't want anyone to question. They said, that's what the church teaches? Shut up. Believe it. Nope. The Catholic Church, you know, one of the first things when you go to the seminary, you know what one of the first things that happened to me? Man, the first theology or scripture class you take, you feel like your faith is being shaken to the foundations. Because they deconstruct everything. And you've always thought of faith as this magical little wonderland up here. And all of a sudden you see how it's made out of clay, out of human beings doing stuff. And you go, oh my God. And then the hardest part is to believe that God actually worked through that messy process. You don't want to see two things from a priest's point of view. You don't want to see sausage being made and theology being developed. Because it's gritty. It's gritty. But the Holy Spirit is in the grittiness. And if you can't handle that, you won't be able to handle it. He's in the grittiness. And so, I'm about to land this plane. Divine Mercy Sunday, and love God with all your mind. I think we can use Thomas as an example. He should have been embarrassed with it like the other disciples. But it was Jesus who said, peace. Peace. And he gave him the ability to forgive sins. And use your mind for God's sake. Don't allow yourself to waste your mind on tabloids, on stupid novels. I'm not saying you can't take a break periodically, but don't live in fantasy land. The world is real. And you gotta ask, you gotta use your head to be able to understand what God has done for us. You have to be able to understand what it means to be a Christian. Why do you think the theme of the parish is this, or the slogan, or whatever? Transforming cultural Catholics into intentional disciples. It takes time and effort to do that. Period. I'll shut up.